Okay. And I hope because of all the internet issues for the last 2 weeks where, I mean, even though my system crashed last week, we still didn't have the bandwidth to do the service. And so 2 weeks in a row, we were messed up. But so I hope nobody forgot about communion today. So that's not for, I don't know, half hour or so or an hour. And but thank you for your patience and for your prayers, for everything that's been going on for the last 2.5 months. And on top of that, due to some strange issues in the Christ and His Righteousness booklet that I actually have on the site, which I broke the link to, if I recall correctly, I've decided to wait until I get one of the, to get the one that's on vbates.com to continue in the study. Because I'm not 100% certain. The copy I have on the site is unedited, as it does not appear to be the same as the one I read years ago, and we actually made, I got one here, physical copies of. You know, we actually printed them ourselves and put, you know, the ministry name on the back. And so the one I had in hand back then doesn't mention certain things as the PDF does that I have online. And so until I can double verify, I'd like to wait to get the one that I know is safe. It's been verified. Problem is, Mary Beth is in the process of moving all the books to a better location, and so it may take weeks, you know, a few weeks or so, before I can even order it, and she's no doubt backlogged. If you went to her site, she's got a little note on the top stating that she is still taking orders. It's just not, they're not going to be going out for a while because it's a mess over there. They're moving everything around. And so, you know, what I was studying a couple of weeks ago in Matthew 25, I mean, it really helped me with everything that's been going on here. And it's an amazing truth. Well, I mean, come on, 66 books of truth. But, you know, some areas are there for us as we go through life. And it helps us deal with things and helps us see things that are coming. And so I wanted to share Matthew 25 with my brothers and sisters and what the Lord has opened up. And even showed me from spirit of prophecy in some areas. But I believe it'll be better seen and understood if we study chapter 24 first, because Matthew 25 kind of, it's just, it should just be Matthew 24. I mean, it's just all one big, it's more or less the same topic moving forward. So if you don't know what's going on in 24, jumping into 25, it kind of leaves you dangling at the start. So, we're going to, we don't know when the move's going to be completed. I have no, she even put on the website, there's no date. So, anyway, let's start with Matthew 24, verses 1 to 51. Yeah, I'm not going to do that to you, Sean. Don't worry. I'll just 1 and 2 right now. Verses 1 and 2. That there person will be kind of on the 19th. Yeah, but she's still backlogged. And so, but it's good to know that she's only waiting on a shipping thing. So, okay, so here we go. Verses 1 and 2, Matthew 24. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple." You know, every time I, and I'm stopping here. I know I said verse 2, but I'll pick it up. Every time I go into a certain city near our home here, they got some really beautiful buildings on the, man, I don't even know if north, south, west, or east side of the town, because I don't have the ability, to, you know, I get lost indoors. And so, but anyway, you're coming into town, and it has these buildings, and some of them you could tell are the pride of the man, the architect, or whoever built it. Like, for example, the one building, at one time it was a bank, and then it changed to something else, and it changed to something. I don't know what it is now, but it has this pyramid shape to it that's made out of glass. And then across the street, right now, what they do is they make drugs or something. They had some weird... When we first came out here 15, 16 years ago, it wasn't doing drugs, if I recall correctly. But now it manufactures some types of drugs. I don't know. But the building is shaped like a huge ship made out of like marble or something. And it's way off the road. So you got about 100 acres. But the building's so big that, yeah, you can see it with no problem. They got 100 acres of grass they cut. And the reason I'm mentioning all that is all that stuff's going to be, you know, just powder, all busted up at the end of Plague 7. You know, some of these guys, like even with the statues and stuff, I always thought that it was just ridiculous. The guy's dead. He doesn't even know they made a statue of him, you know. And some of the guys that, you know, these billionaires and trillionaires, they want, you know, their legacy to go forward to some extent, and so they'll make things out of their name, with their name on it or something. But it's all big old waste of time. They could have used that money to glorify the Lord and help people find him. But, you know, especially now, we are in the end of days, and that's a rarity. So verse 2 says, "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And that was fulfilled in 70 A.D., And just so you know, according to some historic references I used many years ago, I found that the reason not one stone was upon another is because the Roman soldiers literally dismantled the temple stone by stone to get at the gold that was inlaid on each stone. And due to the blatant defilement of the temple itself, as Rome always does no matter where they stand in history, those soldiers eventually died, along with all the homosexuals they went to visit in Pompeii 9 years later when Mount Vesuvius erupted and killed everyone in that city. Now, yes, manuscript releases and the SDA Bible commentary does say, and the manuscript releases is the one that's in the safe time of, like in the 1800s or something. They say that, you know, and the Bible commentary does say angels of God were sent. Well, no, wait, I think the manuscript releases I got was from 1993 or something, or 56. But anyway, they say angels of God were sent to destroy the temple. But herein lies a puzzle for me because of, you know, the manuscripts and the SDA leaders in 1993 and the SDA Bible commentary, volume 5 anyway, from 1956. I just can't help but to think and know how Rome likes to, literally controls the Seventh-day Adventist Church right down to receiving their tithes. It's hard to know the absolute truth on this when you're reading a compilation from the Seventh-day Adventist Church after the death of Ellen White, or even before, with certain books like the 1888 and the 1911 and the Desire of Ages. She didn't write any of those books. But because the Holy Spirit had already left the church in 1888, they had no choice but to keep making new books, because if you have 1 million people that believe Ellen White's a prophet, and you write a book and put her name on it, they're going to, and if they charge $5 for each book, the church will get $5 million, because just about everybody's going to buy the books, because Ellen White wrote them, right? And they've been doing it ever since. I mean, they're still making them. I recall the Great Hoax. They call it the Great Hope. But, you know, when the Pope was coming around, they put this Great Hoax book out, and it's supposed to be a version of the Great Controversy again, but there was nothing in it about the Pope. All of it was removed. Still, since the soldiers were already there in 70 AD when they killed those Jews, you know, the 1.1 million Jews, because they didn't believe the one prophecy Jesus said they should believe in, but all the Christians believed it. When Cestius came around and surrounded the city, they knew that was the sign that Jesus talked about 40 years prior. And so they, you know, when Cestius backed off, because they knew something had to happen to let them flee, because Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation surrounding the holy place, those who are in Judea to flee to the mountains, right? And so they had to flee. But they couldn't if the city was surrounded, so they knew something was going to happen to give them the opportunity to flee. And so even to this day, they don't really know why. I mean, there was some speculation, and I've come across some things, too, as to why Cestius backed off to go help somebody, you know, politically or even in a warlike fashion. But he backed off, and then the Christians got out of there. But the Jews stayed behind because they didn't believe in Jesus. And then when Titus came back 3.5 years later, that was it. Because Cestius came around in 66 A.D. And that's why I did that video. This is our 66 A.D. when you look at how they were doing the plandemic. Because all the things that they built for the plandemic is how they will enforce the mark. And so this is our 66 A.D. But any event, the basic historic facts are those soldiers died when they went to their homosexual resort 9 years later. In fact, they proved last May in 2021 that it's an article. They proved that the Roman soldiers were there at Pompeii. You remember? I remember coming across this when my parents gave me those encyclopedias when I was 10. And I don't know if it was then. It could have been later because I just started encyclopedias were very, very exciting to me because the pictures and everything. I mean, they're just saying things about what they do in different countries. I always liked looking at what they were doing in Iran and Iraq because the colors, I mean, the clothing, oh, it was so beautiful. They didn't talk about the hijabs and all this other stuff. I mean, with the black clothing that they make the women wear. No, these women were all dressed up. I guess it was all the festival stuff that they would only put in the encyclopedias. But I remember reading about something when I was a teenager that they found, like when they were excavating and they found Pompeii by Mount Vesuvius. That's still there. I don't know if they still name it Vesuvius. I can't remember. But every now and then, because they were, you know, finding the buildings and all that, and every now and then when they came across a spot they were excavating, it would be like an open cavity in the ashes that eventually solidified around whatever, you know, so it was kind of like the whole city was fossil. Well, they weren't fossilized, but the city was more or less intact. And one of the scientists decided, or archaeologists decided to say, hey, let's just pour some plaster of Paris in these holes to figure out what's going on, because these holes were popping up all over the place. And most of you know what I'm talking about. You see these holes in these museums, where it's humans, people, that eventually rotted away and left a cavity inside the ashes that covered them up, the mud and the ashes. Not so much the lava. Well, the lava was on top, because lava doesn't move as fast as a pyroclastic cloud, you know. So anyway, but check this out. I found this. Where did I get this? The headline is 2,000-year-old skeleton identified as senior Roman soldier on Vesuvius rescue mission. And I'll get to that in a minute because they're just yanking your chain on that. And so it said that, well, here, let me put it in the room so you can all read along. I'm not going to put the link. Well, I can put it. If you want the link, just ask me. I'll get you the link. And where did I put that one spot? There it be. All right. Let's see if it fits. It should. Well, it comes out as all one paragraph, but it's two paragraphs. It says, initially thought to be that of a regular soldier, the skeleton was among 300 soldiers found at, Herculaneum? Yeah, Herculaneum in the 1980s. But now, and when they say now, May of 2021. But now researchers have concluded that it belonged to a high-ranking officer with a Roman fleet sent on a rescue mission to evacuate the panic-stricken inhabitants running for their lives. But, and then it says, both Pompeii and Herculaneum, popular Roman seaside resorts, if you notice they don't mention it was actually a bunch of homosexual brothels. They actually did like a documentary on it years ago, and they had an anatomically correct item of the male body above every doorway. It was disgusting. They just worship it. Like the phallic symbol, but they went with a little bit more graphic. You know, the phallic symbols that they have, like the Washington Monument or that pillar at the Vatican, it's the same thing, but they hide it in plain sight by not making it look exactly like the same thing. And so anyway, it said that, you know, both those places were popular Roman seaside resorts south of the modern-day Naples, and they were obliterated by the violent eruption of AD 79, covering people and houses in lava, mud, and ash, preserving them for future archaeologists to discover. Now, knowing how Rome has the power to change historic record so as to corrupt or cover up their sins, and I remember this even as a 15-year-old when I started going to the high school that I met Fran at, and that was the last high, you know, because we moved from my freshman year to my sophomore year when my parents bought a house. And but I remember because I had read a bunch of encyclopedias and history books when I was a kid, because you didn't have video games back then, and in the wintertime you just sat around and it was boring, and you didn't have many channels on the TV, and the TV shut off at 11, and so anyway, literally, you'd get that test pattern at 11. Most everybody in this room has no clues to what I'm talking about there, but you old guys, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Well, you remember seeing that, like that would make that humming noise or with that, I don't know. But I remember what I read in the history books, and then when I got into the history class at the high school, yeah, I just put my head down. She's lying, but she doesn't know she's lying. She's just teaching manufactured history. And so the historic was Rome's always been able to do that. And this article claims regarding, you know, why the soldiers were there is suspect to much scrutiny. I mean, just common sense tells you that this is impossible if you know how a volcano erupts. The fact that the popes of Rome invented the end-time version of Antichrist, as well as the Great Tribulation happening after a supposed secret rapture so as to hide the fact that the Great Tribulation Jesus spoke of happened when they killed those 500 million Christians in the Inquisitions, as well as all these other false prophecies like, you know, seven-year tribe and all that, I doubt very seriously those soldiers were there to rescue people at all. They were there visiting on a, you know, because that was their reward for doing what they did 9 years later, so or earlier. The basic reality is that most ignore is they didn't have planes, trains, or even cars to be able to get to those people in time to save them from their very unexpected volcanic eruption. So they're all running for their lives, right? And no, it wasn't lava that killed everyone. Not by a long shot. Lava moves quite slow. Any one of you that live in Hawaii or even seen some of the videos about lava taking people's houses out, that's got to be one of the slowest natural disasters known to man. It just slowly comes and you can't stop it. Nothing you can do. You can't even breathe the air that's around it because of that black smoke is acrid and it's poisonous. But anyway, as we know, lava moves too slowly. Recent archaeological digs confirmed it was the pyroclastic cloud that smothered and cooked everyone in Pompeii within just a few minutes. Pompeii wasn't that far from Mount Vesuvius. And Pompeii was and still is to this day 150 miles from Rome, where the soldiers were, supposedly. So there's not a horse alive back then or even now, that could get a soldier there fast enough to save anyone. Even if they had cars back then, a car driving 150 miles an hour would take an hour to get there if there was no traffic or streetlights. And within just a few minutes, yeah, the city was covered. That's what killed everybody, especially when you see how some of these Plaster of Paris depictions of their final moments in death, it's suffocation and some of them burning. And you could tell by the way they're covering their face, and you know, it's just really eerie. And so the 300 soldiers they found, they had to be in the city already, along with everyone else, when the mountain exploded, for them to be found buried with everyone else in the ash. And the only reason because I've been telling people for decades about this, but now we've got proof those Roman soldiers were there, because they want to glorify Rome by saying, you know, that there was an important soldier there because they found his scabbard and the sword, and the scabbard had the an emblem on there that only a high-ranking official, like a colonel or something. And so for the author of the article, the claim they traveled 150 miles to help the people is just a flat-out lie. The time it took for the noise of the mountain exploding to travel 150 miles, for them to hear it in Rome, I mean, come on, by the time they heard it, everyone was already under hot ash and already dying. You know, so those soldiers died as a judgment, you know, of God for what they did in 70 AD. This article and many like it are simply Vatican spin doctrine. They have been doing this even, I mean, they have no choice to do this. Even 2,000 years later, due to all the dirt prophesied against them, that will soon open many eyes in the coming days. And that's why John Paul II was the first to do it. I think others, like I think John Paul I or even Pope Paul VI, mentioned it in passing, but they really made it globally known when John Paul II apologized for the Inquisitions, and Sister White prophesied a pope would do that. And that's another thing that happened after she died. I got it on the Was She a Prophet page. And so they're doing it again. They're doing it now. They've been spin doctoring left and right. And so it's no news. So, but most people have, I mean, come on, today, even the scoffer have seen the prophecy of 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 fulfilled right before their eyes. I mean, that prophecy literally says that we should not let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I mean, look around. Not only have most people embraced sin as the norm, proving a falling away has been fulfilled, just about everyone alive knows how evil the popes are and have always been. But if you've been in a, like a lead vault for 40 years and didn't know what actually happened, check out my September 2004 Truth Provided newsletter when you get time. I list just some of the more insanely perverted and evil acts of the popes of Rome for the last, since 538. And it's pretty graphic stuff. But anyway, continuing Matthew 24, verses 3 and 4, it says, Matthew 24, verses 3 and 4, and it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came up unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." And it's no mistake, he starts with that. Not only was that good advice 2,000 years ago, it is even more binding today because nearly all pastors and preachers are government-approved 501c3 entities. I mean, George W. Bush, when he brought forth the 501c3 as an executive order, even though it was penned by Lyndon Johnson in 1954, he brought it forth in 2006 and said every pastor and every minister, like has a ministry under 501c3, and of course all those charitable organizations are now considered official government agents. The leaders and their ministries or churches are government agencies. He said that with his own lips. And still, none of these SDA leaders ever dropped that 501c3. They have done the exact opposite of what Jesus commanded in Luke 20, verse 25, when he said unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's," it's paid a tax. And then he finishes by saying, "Unto God the things which be God's." As we all know, the government seeks taxes, which are in fact money, or even mammon, as it is often called in Scripture. And we also know the things of God are most assuredly not money. With that said, Jesus also said in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Yet, these SDA leaders think they can. And then guys like Doug Baxter will get out there and purposely remove a Bible verse to defend himself for having multiple 501c3s. And even say it's a burden. It would be a burden on him if he had to pay the taxes. But he left the verse out that Jesus told Peter to go fishing and get the 4 drachma coin so that he and Peter's taxes will be paid, which means the Lord will pay the taxes for us. He's done it for me for years. Yet, with all that in mind, too, and it's not just the church leaders ignoring Christ and literally calling Christ a liar. Notice what a United States representative stated openly before all, that Jesus lied when he said to keep the church and state separate. Check this out. I'll put this in the text chat. And it was this came out in 2006, so I'm assuming because of the pushback that came out when Bush. Yeah, this is because Bush set it up on July. What was it, July 5th, I think it was, 2006. He set up the 501c3 as an executive order. August, the next month. Well, here, I'll put it in the room. The very next month, August 28th, 2006. And boy, I thought this was Kamala Harris, but no, it's Catherine Harris. It says this, and the headline is Representative Harris, Church and State Separation, a Lie. And they put that in quotations because that's what she said. And so it says, U.S. Representative Catherine Harris told a religious journal that separation of church and state is a lie, and God and the nation's founding fathers did not intend the country to be a nation of secular laws. Separation of church and state is a lie, we have been told. Who's the one that told us about this separation of church and state? It was Jesus, wasn't it? He was the first one to mention it. So she's calling Jesus a liar. Just like, you know, Hillary Clinton did and Obama, you know, would stop being so religious. You got to change your religious values. Not going to happen. But there's a lot of sheeple out there that fell for it. And yes, it's not an insulting term. Sheeple is found in your dictionaries now. Anyway, Harris said in the interview published Thursday, saying, separating religion and politics is wrong because God is the one who chooses our rulers. Boy, you can see Satan moving her tongue right there. I mean, that's how crafty he can be sometimes when he wants to twist a Bible truth so as to push his own agenda. The Christian Bible easily exposes this woman to, you know, to be a liar. Even a babe in Christ can see this. However, seeing how there's already a prophesied famine in the land of hearing the word of God, because most people, you know, they refuse to open their Bibles, as the prophet Amos said in 8:11, this assumed educated politician or learned politician will be considered intelligent and therefore trustworthy by most. She may be intelligent in matters of state, but matters of eternal truth, she is far lacking indeed. Still, many are going to place their trust in her over Scripture simply because the prophecy states their Bibles are dust collectors today, and most have a massive lack of knowledge when it comes to the truth proclaimed in the Holy Writ. And by the way, I feel it's needed to be mentioned here. Sister White did actually touch on how the Seventh-day Adventist Church would join with the state, but you're not going to find her comments in any of those books that they're selling now, the ones they keep rewriting, the ones they keep compiling, because the Lord has removed from them the understanding of doctrine and prophecy. Their 1980 change of their statement of faith confirms that hands down. Biblical jurisprudence lit that one up. I mean, it was just obvious. And so they're not going to, so they can't, this is why they keep doing these revelation seminars. Somebody actually hit me with that on YouTube last night or this morning. But they keep doing these revelation seminars. Why? Because they don't, it makes them look like they're smart. Because the pioneers of the SDA Church put together those studies and showed what time it is in the history of mankind. But these guys can't tell you anything. And this is why we in the Remnant Church get hated and attacked, because we could tell you today what the Pope's going to do tomorrow. Why? Because the prophecy told us what he's going to do tomorrow. But the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they no longer have the spirit of prophecy, nor the understanding of doctrine. And so they got to keep doing these, you know, these seminars, these prophecy seminars. And people fall for it, but not everybody, because eventually they too come out of the church when they see it's not really a Christian church anymore. But, again, you're not going to find these comments. I'm going to share this, too. Let's see if it'll fit in the room here. Yeah, it should. All right. Now, then I'm going to show you what it says in 1888, okay? I just love the way the Lord's moving this study with the Matthew 24. I've always wanted to do this with Matthew 24, but, you know, never had the opportunity. But now, here we go. But there it is, Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, page 424, paragraph 1. That's SOP 4, page 424, paragraph 1. It says, now this is Sister White, literally, exposing the SDA leaders and everybody else that got the 501c3. I made a video about this, in fact. They removed this from the 1888 and the 1911. It says the laborers will be qualified, and that's us, you know, talking about the people that go forth and doing the final, you know, the present truth, the loud cry, all that stuff. It's going to happen exactly the same way as the Midnight Cry did, where there was no organized church. And so the Seventh-day Remnant Church is more a Seventh-day Remnant movement, as prophesied. That's why we all meet in our homes, and just like the apostles did back then, because of persecution and whatnot. So anyway, the laborers will be qualified rather by the unction of his spirit than by the training of literary institutions. So we don't go to seminary, or cemetery, as I like to call it, or Bible college, or Bible collage. Oh, there's a good one. Because the Bible colleges give you a collage of Bibles, like the NIV, the NASB, the NLT. I mean, all of them. I wouldn't doubt they use the Douay Rheims. So men of faith and prayer will be constrained to go forth with holy zeal, declaring the words which God gives them. The sins of Babylon will be laid open. That's why they hate us, because the Catholic Church is being exposed, the man of sin, because the great falling away has already happened anyway, so the man of sin is revealed. And then we also let everyone know about the sisters of Babylon, too. I mean, wherever Antichrist rears up his ugly head, he's going to get exposed, and he knows it. And so it says, the fearful results of union of church and state, the inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. And that's happening now. But check this out. Notice what, I'm going to put this in the room. This is Great Controversy, 1888. All right. And I don't have to do the 1911 because it says the exact same thing on the exact same page in the 1888 and the 1911. And that page is 606, paragraph 2. There you go. All right. It says, now, keep in mind what I just read about where it said the fearful results of the union of church and state. I'm going to read you everything, like from the point where it says the sins of Babylon will be laid open. But notice what they say next. It says the fearful, this is the 1888. It says the fearful results of enforcing the observances of the church by civil authority, the inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. Yeah, it's being unmasked right now by what you're doing, by protecting yourselves, because you got caught with your hand in the cookie jar with tax exemption in the 501c3. Jesus said he'd pay the tax for you. But you said, no, thanks. I like all these other benefits. Like being forced to say homosexual marriage is okay, or being forced to declare Allah is God, because that's what they're doing in the SDA church now. I got it on videos. And so instead of saying the fearful results of a union in church of union, union of church and state, they say the fearful results of enforcing the observances of the church by civil authority. They don't mention the union of church and state, which you got to do in order to get a 501c3. The only way to get a 501c3 is to sign a 501c3, sign the contract. Oh no, I'm sorry. You got to incorporate the church or the ministry or the charitable organization with your state of origin. You have to connect it, incorporate it, it's called. Then you can file for the 501c3. Because now you're considered a union, a unified church with a state. Okay, so they had to remove it where it says union of church and state because, well, they didn't know about it in 1888, but obviously the demons in them knew about what the demons were going to do with Lyndon Johnson in 1954 when he built the 501c3. So using the term union of church and state had to be removed. And so, but continuing. Let me see how much further I got to go before. Okay, we're almost done. All right, because I kind of went off like I usually do. That's why my notes are only so long. But, the Lord just keeps, that John 14, 26 thing. Yeah, a lot of things keep coming to mind. Okay, let's continue. Verse 5, Matthew 24. Jesus now says this. He says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And I'm going to stop here for a moment. But think about this. Before any of us were born, there were only about 20 or so men that claimed to be Jesus the last 2,000 years. And today, There are a few making this claim as well. I know three. I think there's the one guy in Russia. He actually tries to look like the Catholic Jesus with the long hair and the beard. There's a guy in Florida that literally has his own daughters and everybody that follows him tattoo 3 6s on their bodies, and somehow he convinced them that proves that he's Messiah. And he's, I think he's Korean or Hawaiian, I don't know. And then there was another guy that, I think it's in Poland, that are living alive right now claiming to be Jesus. Altogether, I think, I did a video on this a while ago where I mentioned, I think it was like 25 popular ones. I mean, there's a bunch. I mean, like every time people go and visit Jerusalem, let's say, and I can't remember the terminology they use, as some psychiatrists use it, all of a sudden these people, when they get there, they're very zealous, like Pentecostal types, and they go to Jerusalem, and all of a sudden they're enraptured by the whole place and the beauty of it all and the fact that Jesus was there, and all of a sudden they believe they are Jesus Christ themselves. And it's some kind of a, they say it's some kind of a weird psychological thing. It's just, no, it's demon possession. But you can't say that in today's society. But anyway, regardless of all these guys that, you know, like 25, let's say, that are popular the last 2,000 years, were you aware that every single solitary pope that has ever lived has also claimed himself to be a god on earth in writing? And the prelates have acknowledged him as such in writing. I got a huge section of that on my Words of a Beast page, the very first section, in fact, on the Words of a Beast page. Is all about them calling themselves God on earth. And but every pope that was ever elected has never recanted what the previous popes said about them being gods on earth. And nor have they ever demanded the Vatican change their omnipotent dogma claiming their popes are gods or a god on earth. And worse yet, they still teach this to this day. Notice what they teach in the actual catechism books that you can buy right now that they use to teach children as well as any adult seeking to become a Catholic in New York. I'm going to put it in the room here real quick. This is quoted from the actual New York Catechism. And catechism is just a Latin term meaning this is what we believe in the Catholic Church. Okay. It says, the Pope takes the place of Jesus Christ on earth. By divine right, the Pope has supreme and full power in faith, in morals, over each and every pastor and his flock. He is the true vicar, which means replacement in English, the head of the entire church, the father and teacher of all Christians. See, that's why Muslims think Catholics are Christians, and that's why they kill Christians, thinking, because of what the Catholics did to the Muslims and during the Crusades. Anyway, it goes on. It says, talking about the Pope still, he is the infallible ruler, even though many popes have exposed some of the errors previous popes, they don't care about that. So he is the infallible ruler, the founder of dogmas, the author of and the judge of councils, the universal ruler of truth, and Catholicism is the Latin term for the word universal. The arbiter of the world, the supreme judge of heaven and earth. So he's judging angels, he thinks. And then it says he's the judge of all. That's blasphemy. And he's being judged by no one. And why does he say that? Because it also says he's God himself on earth. And just so you know, the man the Vatican now calls Saint John Paul II said this back in 1994. Let me put this in the room for you there. There you go. It says, the leader of the Catholic Church is defined by the faith as the vicar or replacement of Jesus Christ and is accepted as such by believers. Now listen to what it says. The Pope is considered the man on earth who takes the place of the second person of the omnipotent God of the Trinity. And so for those people out there that keep saying to me, you're wrong. Vicar doesn't mean replacement. Vicar doesn't mean replacement. Left and right, all over, right? Well, and explain what they just said, what Saint John Paul II said in 1994. And just one more out of dozens of quotes I have listed on my Words of the Beast page. This one here, many people said, oh, it doesn't even exist. Doesn't exist at all. And it wasn't for some intense research that I did, and then Michael Scheifler helped me out before he died. I think he's dead. I'm thinking he's dead because his website is no longer being updated and somebody else is posting it. And my links are still on there, you know, to my site. I think that is so neat. But many people told me that the Bull Unum Sanctum that was issued by Pope Boniface, let me put it in the room here. I'll put the links, too, to actual Vatican websites where you can read these things on the Vatican website. And they're all saying, and Catholic priests have told me in the chat rooms back when I was starting with AOL, back before when the internet just started and I was just starting to convert my website into HTML. They were saying, no, Bull Unum Sanctum doesn't exist. Just like Vicarius Filii Dei, all that title doesn't exist. And it's certainly not on the mitre. You know, so not only do we got pictures of the mitre with it on there, we got, you know, all this other stuff. But I can't find the one I have. I think it's on Scheifler's site, Michael Scheifler's site. But here, let me put this in the room real quick here. Is that the one? Yep, that's the one. And just so you know, this was promulgated, this the Unum Sanctum, in November 18th, 1302. They think somehow that it's impossible for people to research this up. But anyway, it says, the last line of the 1302 Bull Unum Sanctum, I think that's my words, it says that, and it was issued by Pope Boniface, what is that, the 8th, it says, we declare, as a matter of fact, this was the very first quote that I used to use on the street, the very first one I ever came across on the street. And so I think I thank my mom for this because I used to take her to the library all the time. And boy, I went into the reference books in the library. Books you can't take home, you know, you can't walk out of the building with them. Big, fat books you can hold a door open with. And so anyway, it says, we declare, we proclaim, we define that it is absolutely necessary for salvation that every human creature be subject to the Roman pontiff or pope. And again, that was the Unum Sanctum that was promulgated November 18, 1302. And for a complete look at the quote, I put those links in there. And for some strange reason, the text chat didn't... It did friendly them down. You know, it took all the back end of the URL off. But it doesn't matter. Click it, you'll get there. And so again, when I first placed that quote in a video many years ago, I got all sorts of flack from the Catholics as well as so-called Protestants because I got it on the street, so I expected it. But now I had fodder for my canon. I was able to show and prove that it was a legitimate quote. And so I did a tad more research and found not just where I found it, but I found the exact quote on the Vatican websites, you know, where they stack up all their papal encyclicals. And so praise the Lord. For the internet on that fact alone, and people say, oh, you got it on the internet, it's bogus. Well, you can think that if you want, but the Vatican, you know, actually has a website too, you know. And they put this stuff up there. I didn't make the Vatican website. And so, but yeah, I guess this study was more or less a warning about, for those that may be thinking of joining our number that don't think, the Pope's that big of a problem, when in fact he's the man of sin. All the problems, all the wars, all modern-day wars are the end result of the Jesuits getting involved and where governments refused to bow to their demands. They either assassinated and replaced the leaders or just had an all-out war if they couldn't get close enough to the leader, you know, like they were unable to do with the Ukraine. But you also see how with the plandemic, a lot of people think it's legitimate. This is, if it's legitimate, do you think the Muslims would care? Do you think the people, you know, like the Buddhists would care, or the Chinese? Well, the Chinese started it, actually, because they already had their phone calls with the Pope prior. But my point in all this is, if it, it's there's more evidence to the fakery than to legitimacy, because the reason I said, do you think the Muslims would care, is even though all the world is claiming, like a bunch of modern-day nations are claiming there's a pandemic, you know, for those 2 years, some nations refused to believe it because they knew it was all a lie. It was just political theater. But even North Korea bowed. And Iraq bowed. And Iran bowed. Saudi Arabia bowed. They all did what the Pope said to do. That's why the Pope ran down. Well, I would imagine he got into the Pope mobile, but he went down the road to the Russian ambassador's building to talk to them when Putin started the war in Ukraine, because he wants to make sure everything is going to stay the way it is, because they've already got the 10 kingdoms. They call them kingdoms, 10, just like the prophet Daniel said with the 10 toes. Yeah, and they come to power at the end of Plague 6. That's how close we are. 10 kingdoms are already set up. And so, but yeah, it's out there, and we're seeing it, and that's why we keep getting our problems with the internet. And please keep that in your prayers, too, because I finally did get those people. I am going to buy this new method of internet, but getting bandwidth in my area. But I got one more question I got to ask them. Otherwise, I got to use a Faraday cage. And so, hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a moment, and we'll have a little bit of truth and then communion. Be back in a minute.